Blog Talk Radio. Ayawo, Royalty, royalty to all. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. I am your host, Haru, the Seven Oracle, guys. And today, guys, as you guys always know, we're going to bring you the Motivational Classroom. Not sure if Eternal's going to be in today, but this is a powerful one, you guys. This is one that means, like, the most to me, actually, because it's definitely a classroom because I'm still learning. But the geometry and the matrix behind the 23. So I'm just going to do the classroom just to kind of set it out, you know, as far as to the springboard, you know, to usher in the real deep understanding on what, you know, the 23 means. Now, when we talk about the 23, you know, we think of the 23 scientists. Many of us think of Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying, which is a great example, Michael Jordan, because that's the real live example, because we didn't know the 23 elders, right? But we're going to break all that down, guys. We're not going to use Michael Jordan in this one, because we all know what Mike was about. But here's the thing about Mike. Did he know something about the magical 23 that we did not know? That is what I want to tap into. Mike knew something. I would love to have a conversation with him on the 23. But the 23 is definitely a magical number. And I promise you guys, I went to a painting event. I love to paint in the background. I also sell paints too, guys. I started a queen affirmation paintings where I paint. I have a canvas, and I have many different canvases to choose from as far as the style. And I paint them, you know, in essence of whatever woman comes to me and whatever affirmation I get up and I pick intuitively, I paint for her an affirmation, you know, for you guys to have in your home. So as a reminder of the beautiful essence in which you are. So I do that for women. But so, guys, email me if you want. Haru the Oracle 7 at gmail.com. Or you can email the radio show, Enhancing Awareness Radio at gmail.com, and, you know, to get your painting sent to you. It's donation-based, guys. So, you know, whatever you feel. But you do have to pay for shipping. But it's donation-based. So whatever you feel the painting is worth. So that's how I'm doing that. But, yeah, the magical 23, guys, what does it mean? So we're going to go ahead with our intro clip of Remedy H, Brother Wisdom, with the Cosmic Updates. Please join us tomorrow for Marvin. We introduced Marvin to you last month, but Marvin is great, too, with the Cosmic Updates. So Brother Wisdom and Marvin are going to be our two Cosmic Update elders, you know, that we use here at EAR. It's really hard to trust anyone out here in this spiritual pimp game, you know, because everybody's trying to control narratives. You know, you take off the mask, you guys, and when we take off the mask, everybody is only solely out for themselves. Every man, we're done with all of that, you guys. So let me find it, but I show Brother Wisdom for appreciation, you know, and he knows. You know, anytime he may get discouraged and stuff, he knows that we appreciate what it is, even though we may not be doing things. Young Pharaoh, Remy H, and Rashad Jamal 2 weeks ago. What? Brother Wisdom, if you can feel this, brother, please stay away from all of that in them. Don't even get tangled up. Your wisdom and your crown and all that, don't even get in the mix with these people. They are not you at all. All right, so guys, we'll be back to discuss the podcast, guys, but it's just really me really researching the algorithm of 23, you know? So oh, hold on, I gotta rewind it.
Guy some money. All right, we'll find out. I don't know who's funding him, and he's got some I'm not going to be too long. I'm taking me a quick break here. But, you know, guys, we've been talking about Elon Musk is a subject that we've been talking about for a while. I've been watching him. I've been watching him close. All right. Elon Musk has got a system that he's implementing. And he's got some ghost money. All right, we'll find out. But I don't know who's funding him. And he's got some ghost funds. And he's got this Starlink program that he's implementing. All right. So what I saw, he's trying to get the Starlink to put a cluster of satellites at a time, 40 satellites at a time, facing them in the back. Right, this is all through remote control. They're working on it. Right? The key in this is understanding that these things are working real hard for control. The Starlink program is directly tied into the Neuralink program. How y'all doing? All right, I see y'all saying how y'all doing. The Starlink program is directly linked into the Neuralink program. All right? So what he wants to do is he wants to create a webbing around the planet. He wants to create a webbing that engulfs the entire planet. All right? And he wants to have several trips with this Starlink rocket going up in space, dispersing these satellites. And then the thing about these satellites are going to be in inner space, not outer space, but inner space. All right? This is very important, brothers and sisters. It's extremely important. And this, he wants to create something like a kinetic energy grid. Something almost like a spider webbing system. It's more so like a spider webbing system, all right, where the entire globe, the entire planet will be completely covered on all sides, all the way around, where it will engulf in, or it will go all the way around the planet. I'm being redundant, I'm sorry, because I got to get this message across. And these satellites will send frequencies to each other. They will be communicating, and these, and Elon Musk and the rest of these 2%ers will be able to send hyper-powerful frequencies from the satellites down to these, what you call, cell phone towers. And from the satellites to the cell phone towers, they will work on infiltrating the minds of everyone, and because only a very few people actually volunteer for this Neuralink program. All right, remember the Neuralink program, they use this small chip, and they insert it in the back of your head, right beneath the cerebellum, all right, in the area, cerebral cortex, all that area. And basically, you are then controlled by artificial intelligence, all right? He said it in his video. He says, imagine a world where no one thinks the way they want to think. Imagine a world where everyone thinks alike. Imagine a world where everyone does the same thing at the same time. So this Starlink program that they're working on is designed to infiltrate the minds of everyone, especially the original people. Especially the original people. They are working to infiltrate everyone's minds, especially the original people, because we're the ones who are getting the downloads. All right? This Neuralink program, this webbing all around the entire planet is designed to slow down or almost stop information from outside of the planet coming down to us. This is why it's important for us to begin building our systems. Our enemies are literally building their systems in real time. I actually got some information today. This guy says, you know, I was looking for you. And I'm like, okay. So he comes to me and it shows me this thing. It said NASA opens up a wormhole and discovers a warp drive accidentally. All right. Our enemies are working tirelessly every day. All right. While our brothers and sisters are running around here killing each other, robbing each other. All right. While they're running around here trying to be managers and all, you got your Rashad Jamal followers, you know, making videos about me and Young Pharaoh, Remedy H versus Rashad Jamal. You know, they've got all this going on here, but they're not watching what our enemies are doing. You know, and this is the heavy part about it. This is the heavy part about it because our enemies are not letting up, brothers and sisters. They're not letting up. They're doing what they want to do. All right. They're upgrading technology and artillery. Yeah. Of course. You know, this is what they're doing. But this is all through the Starlink program. The Starlink program, this is an important message. The Starlink program, all right, is designed to infiltrate the mind using the so-called cell phone tower. That's why you got to understand why they do what they do. In the area, you know, I speak to so many of the map. You know, you got Ogun speaking to me, you got Oshun speaking to me, you got Shango, you got Osiris, you got Isis speaking to me, you know, you got all these ascended masters speaking through me, and also me giving you guys information from what I learned to understand and what I pull from the center of the cosmos, all right? And what are we saying? We got to begin building our system because We have to be on a Masonic level because these beings are working real hard and they want to control the entire planet. Like we said, Bill Gates, all right, he's done. Bill Gates is done. You never hear about him anymore. Bill Gates is done. Elon Musk is the man because Bill Gates could not get the program together to control everybody. That's why that's the whole thing about it. You know, he was trying to create a program to control everybody. He can't control everybody, so now Elon Musk is the man that's going to be doing it. You got to understand and watch your enemies. So like we said, you got all these brothers and sisters out here. I'm looking at Brother Yosef and all these other guys, you know, and I'm like, you know, y'all got to understand what the fuck our enemies are doing. If we are not building on an extreme level and creating the devices that we're supposed to be creating in order to restore balance on the planet, our enemies are going to do and continue to do whatever they want to do, which means that we have to ascend higher than them. This is why we must build. This is why we must create. This is why we must return to science and technology and physics. And this is why. This is the importance of it. This is the importance, and for the life, I don't understand why the young folk. I still think about that brother who, on that one post, and he said at least Rashad Jamal don't stress us about building. I'm like, if you have somebody that you rely on to teach you, and they're not telling you to go into a higher mindset, then you've got to question this here. You literally got to question this because you got to understand our enemies are fighting and they're using every method they could possibly use to keep us. If earlier they want us to be in a 2% mindset, because the 2% mindset means that we don't tap into a higher mindset, and those who don't not tap into that higher mindset are susceptible to being controlled by this system if it gets in play. If that's an if, it's not when, it's an if. But we can make the difference, brothers and sisters. I understand this. We can make the difference. We're the ones who can change this entire thing and bring it to a fucking end. All right? I'm not going to stay too much longer because I was just taking a quick union break. You know, we say, he says, you still talking about retiring them all like he did some. Yeah, he lied to y'all. See, this is what I'm talking about. You still talking about Rashad Jamal like he did something. Let me tell you something, guys. You're being lied to. You've been fed all kind of lies. And so many of you have made this person your God. There's so many people have made this person your, so many of you guys have made this person your God. What's the main thing that comes from me all the time? You worship yourself. And you don't worship anyone else. So many of y'all young people are lost. You don't understand the dangers of going and sending your energies to someone else. Therefore, you can't think. You can't even defend yourself in the right way because you're defending someone else who literally has no power whatsoever. I'm telling y'all, brothers and sisters, you got to understand. Y'all better wake the fuck up. Y'all literally better wake the fuck up. Y'all so goddamn sleep. And how much you awake? You ain't awake. You sleep. As long as you are, I don't need anyone to defend me. I don't even need anyone to worship me. I don't need anyone to praise me. I worship myself. I praise myself daily. I worship myself. I glorify myself. I glorify this body. I give this body all honor, glory, and praise. I'm constantly doing this. I don't need anyone to worship me. I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone to praise me and put me on a pedestal. I put myself on a pedestal. So if you are defending someone else, that means you have weakened yourself and you can't even defend your own goddamn self. This is the stupidity of it. This is the part of this that's so goddamn fucked up that the brothers and sisters, especially young folks, can't even see what the fuck is going on. I'm giving you a message, and you talking about Rashad Jamal like he did something. Motherfucker, what the fuck is wrong with you? I am so serious. Y'all so fucking lost, y'all can't see the way. Someone said, oh, yeah, you know, you jealous because he better off. And let me tell you something. When I see something wrong, I see something wrong. And the brother is lying to y'all on so many different levels. On so many different levels. But the main thing that dangerous part about it is you put your heart and energy into someone, and when that person follows, you fall right along with them. You fall right along with them. I don't need money and things. Why? Because I have power. I have power. I have real power. I contain the power of the cosmos and the universe, the macroverse, the dark energy. I am a dark angel. I don't need anything to make me feel big and proud. I don't need anything physical because everything that is within me is cosmic. So don't come to me on some stupid-ass shit like that because that means you ain't got nothing but a 2%, less than 2%. You got that 1%. You got literally the brain waves of a fucking fly. 1% brain. That's all. That's 1% brain energy, less than 1%. This is what we're talking about. See, this is what we're talking about. See what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Ready to defend someone, but you're not listening to the fucking message. And this is where we fall. Look at all the brothers and sisters in the church defending the pastor, ready to fight for the pastor, what the pastor doing, lying to them every goddamn Sunday. Wednesday and whatever other day, they lying, and everybody, so when the church falls and they put their energy into the pastor, what happens? They fall as well. Stock market, all them people put their heart into the stock market, and when the stock market falls, guess what? They fall right along with you. You better better be careful who you put your energy into. You better be fucking careful who you put your energy into, because you put your energy in the wrong motherfucker, you are going to fall right along with them, and you're not going to understand why you're falling. You're not going to understand why you're falling, but you have put your energy into someone else. You're supposed to put your energy into nature. You're supposed to put your energy into the cosmos. This is where your energy is supposed to be. Y'all young people are so fucking foolish. You can't see the light because you're walking in the dark. You're walking, and you're walking behind somebody who's blind, and you're blind, and you think that they show you the way, and they're not showing you anything at all. Don't get me started. I'm supposed to be ending this message. Seriously. All right, guys. I gotta go. That set me off there. That set me off. Y'all young people better wake y'all fucking asses up. Y'all better wake the fuck up. Y'all there running after somebody, and this somebody ain't telling you, you need to build, you need to create, you need to expand your mind, you need to become more powerful. If they ain't telling you that shit, then they ain't telling you nothing at all. They just stealing your fucking energy. I'm a millionaire. All right, y'all keep on going. Y'all keep on following. Y'all keep on doing that. When you fall on your ass, don't come running to me, because I ain't helping your ass up do nothing. Don't come running to me. I guarantee you that. I'm just letting y'all know. These motherfuckers are working hard to take over the planet, and if you ain't doing shit, you ain't going to get shit out of it. But many of you already started to build. I got some emails I got to look into and post the pictures and all that. But y'all better get on point. I'm telling y'all, y'all better get on point, because this shit is real. And these white folk ain't giving up. They are not giving up. They doing this shit in real time, and they don't give a fuck. And they put it all on the internet and let y'all guys know, this is what we doing. And we working on taking over. And so why you worrying about this person and that person, how much money you going to get, and what new pair of shoes you going to get, and what clothes, and what rapper you want to be, because they got you in that 2% mindset. Guess what? They doing something else. All right. I got to go. That's setting me off there. God damn it, that's setting me off. All right. Hey, I'm going to catch you guys a little later. I got a message for y'all guys in the morning, because that was somebody that I received a message earlier today, but that's fine. I'm not even getting to that. I just wanted to pass that message about what's going on with Elon Musk and the Starlink/Neuralink program. Very important message, because they're working to infiltrate our minds and take over the entire planet through their Starlink system. All right, guys, I'm going to catch you guys a little later. Right.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear or pain or loss or disappointment. And yet each of us has awakened, arisen, somehow made our ablution, seen other human beings, and said, "Morning, how are you? Fine, thanks, and you?" It's amazing. Wherever that abides in the human being, there is the nobleness of the human spirit. Despite it all, black and white, Asian, Spanish, Native American, pretty, plain, thin, fat, vowed or celibate, we rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like suns and like moons, with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. As if I have gold mines, digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, naturally, there I go rising.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
First and most noble of the beings which resides inside the earth. Thousands of years ago, on this planet we call Earth, our planet was visited by various groups of extraterrestrial humanoid beings. These extraterrestrial humanoid beings had to leave their planet and seek refuge here on Earth because their home planet had been destroyed by evil. When these extraterrestrial humanoid beings arrived on Earth, they chose to take residence inside the center of the Earth because the surface of the Earth was inhabited by human beings. At this point in time in Earth's history, the human beings who lived on the surface of the Earth were all of one tribe, the Ebonoid tribe. Since they live inside the Earth, these extraterrestrial beings have now become interterrestrial beings. The center of the Earth where these interterrestrial beings reside also contains an inner sun. The inner Earth has been called by a variety of names by cultures around the world, including Shambhala by Buddhists, Agartha by Tibetans, Kurnuchi by the ancient Mesopotamians, the Duat or Amun-Ta by the ancient Egyptians, Hades or the Underworld by Europeans, Shivaba by the Mayans, and in modern times, the concept of the inner Earth has given rise to what is called the Hollow Earth Theory. Unbeknownst to many human beings, the activities of these beings which reside inside the Earth has affected the course of human history and human development. The first and most noble of the beings which resides inside the Earth is called the Shiyuk. Compared to human beings, the Shiyuk would be considered geniuses with exceptional intelligence and telepathic and telekinetic abilities. The Shiyuk have a dark brown skin complexion. They are between 5 feet to 7 feet tall, and their heads, brains, and cranial capacity is much wider and larger than the average human. The Shiyuk come to the Earth's surface occasionally to teach and to trade with certain tribes of human beings. The teachings of the Shiyuk are so profound that when they come to the Earth's surface to teach, they are often called deities, gods, priests, prophets, messengers, and seers, and because of this fact, the Shiyuk have strict laws which limit the interaction of Shiyuk tribal members' contact with the humans on the surface. The Shiyuk commonly interact and have mixed in with the surface world humans called the Dinakil or Danakil, also known as the Afar people, in present-day Eritrea, Djibouti, Ethiopia, and Somalia. The chief of the Chinook is named King Teokor, and his daughter is named Princess Radia, and two of his brothers are named Amo and Yishak, who has always been jealous of his brother King Teokor. King Teokor's brother Amo had fallen in love with a surface-dwelling human female, and he would sneak to the surface world to visit her, and would also pass himself off to the surface-dwelling humans as a psychic and a magician, and for these acts, Amo was exiled to live on the surface, 20 miles outside of the present-day city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia. As long as the people in the inner earth spent most of their life in the inner earth, then they will not die. However, to be exiled to the surface world means a person from inner earth will eventually die like the mortals on the surface. In the caverns adjacent to the Chinook, resides another group of nobles called the Sinin. The Sinin are also highly intelligent, but also have a fighting spirit. The Sinin are between 5 feet to 7 feet tall and have a variety of complexions from yellow to brown, and they are hairless and are most noted for their cone-shaped heads. The Sinin commonly interact and have mixed with surface world humans including the ancient Egyptians, the Olmecs in present-day Central America, the Mangato people in the African Congo, and the Paracas people in Peru. The chief of the Sinin is named King Ramsa, and his daughter is named Princess Lucina, and his son is named Prince Atif. One of the wretched group of beings which resides inside the earth is called the Samin. The Samin are grotesquely obese, pale, with long elephant-like noses, and are very negative and aggressive. The Samin were actually the manifested evil grafted out of the Sinin on their home world prior to these beings arriving on Earth. Since the Samin were grafted out of the Sinin, it is the responsibility of the Sinin to police and keep in check the evil activities of the Samin. It is said that an American named Richard Sharpshaver encountered the Sinin and called them the Turos, meaning interrogative robot, and he also encountered the Samin and called them Duros, meaning detrimental robot. One day, the wretched Samin raided and invaded the village of the Chinook, stealing food and terrorizing the Chinook family. When King Teokor found out about this invasion by the Samin, he sent a telepathic message to King Ramses stating that the Sinin has neglected their responsibility to keep the Samin in check, because the Samin were currently raiding and invading the village of the Chinook. Upon receiving the telepathic message from King Teokor, King Ramses went with his brethren to the caverns of the Chinook to stop the invasion and to drive the Samin back to whence they came. After driving the Samin away from the lands of the Chinook, King Ramsa apologized to King Teokor, but tension remained between the Chinook and the Sinin for some time after the incident. In order to make peace between the Chinook and the Sinin, King Ramsa offered his daughter Princess Lucina to be a wife of King Teokor. King Teokor accepted the peace offering from King Ramsa, and in turn offered his daughter Princess Radia to be the wife of King Ramsa's son Prince Atif, as was the custom, and there was peace in the land for some time between the two tribes of the Chinook and the Sinin. However, King Ramsa's daughter Princess Lucina was angered and outraged because she did not want her father to give her away to be the wife of the Chinook King Teokor. Princess Lucina felt like an outcast and out of place living amongst the Chinook people, and she did not like living by the strict laws of the Chinook people. Princess Lucina always wanted to marry a man from her own people, the Sinin, and she did not want to be married to a Chinook man. One day Princess Lucina, now the unhappy wife of King Teokor, met Yishak, the jealous brother of King Teokor, and they conspired together based on their hatred for King Teokor to have an illicit sexual affair together behind the back of King Teokor. Princess Lucina and Yishak would travel to the surface world to the home of Amo, the exiled brother of King Teokor and Yishak, and it is here where they would have their illicit affair. This affair between Princess Lucina and Yishak went on for months with them sneaking back and forth from the inner earth to the surface world, and eventually Princess Lucina became pregnant. In her pregnant state, Princess Lucina would not return to the land of the inner earth, but would remain at the home of Amo, and Yishak would stay with her. It was here in the home of Amo, 20 miles outside of the present-day city of Mecca, Saudi Arabia, where the child Yaqub was born to Yishak and Princess Lucina. The child Yaqub, being part Chinook and part Sinin, had an enormous head the size of two men, and he also had two brains. Knowing that they could not return to the inner earth because their affair had now produced a child, Yishak and Princess Lucina decided to live and raise the baby Yaqub for 5 years in the home of Amo, 20 miles outside of the present-day city of Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Yaqub's father Yishak would work as a scientist and a priest amongst the humans on the surface, calling himself by the title Mornuakan, the last high priest. Back in inner earth, Yishak and Princess Lucina had been missing for years, and eventually it was found out by King Teokor about the affair between his wife Princess Lucina and his brother Yishak. King Teokor ordered his soldiers to go to the home of his brother Amo and arrest Yishak for his crime, and according to the laws of the Chinook, Yishak was put to death. Princess Lucina's life was spared because she now had a child to take care of, but her punishment was to remain exiled to the surface world living in the home of Emo, and to never return to Inner Earth. Depressed about her inability to return home, overwhelmed by her new responsibility to raise a child, and saddened by the death of her lover Yashok, Princess Lucina killed herself by committing suicide. The 5-year-old child Yakub, now an orphan, is raised by his uncle Emo, and the child Yakub is emotionally disturbed and rebellious because of the death of his parents. The child Yakub grows to hate his people the Shinyuk, and he also grows to hate all dark-complexioned people because he blames them for the death of his parents. The child Yakub desires to have his revenge when he grows up. Yakub starts school at the age of 4, and is teased and mocked about the size of his head by the surface-dwelling human children. This mockery and teasing about the size of his head that Yakub experienced as a child created low self-esteem, and further infuriated the already deranged Yakub, fueling his desire for revenge. Yakub's uncle Emo would tell Yakub stories about the beings in the inner earth and how the Samin were the manifestation of the evil grafted out of Yakub's mother's family, the Samin. One day, when Yakub was 6 years old, he was playing with 2 steel magnets in the home of his uncle Emo, and Yakub noticed the magnetic power of attraction and repulsion that unalike attracts, and life repels. By observing this, Yakub was inspired with a determined idea to create a tribe unlike any of the people on the surface of the planet, and this unlike tribe would be weak and wicked, and attract the other tribes on the surface of the planet, and rule over them with the knowledge of tricks and lies for 6,000 years. Upon coming to this realization, Yakub looked up at his uncle Emo and said, "Uncle, when I get to be an old man, I am going to make a people who shall rule you." Uncle Emo said, "What will you make?" "Someone to make mischief and cause bloodshed in the land." Yakub responded to his uncle Emo by saying, "Nevertheless, uncle, I know that which you do not know," and it was at that moment, the boy Yakub first came into the knowledge of just who he was, born to make trouble, break peace, kill and destroy, and be the enemy to the Ebonoid people of Earth. Yakub knew in order to accomplish his plan he would have to study science, biology, and genetics. Yakub was a child prodigy in school, being exceptionally smarter than the surface-dwelling humans he was going to school with, and by the age of 18, Yakub had finished all of the colleges and universities of his nation. While in college, Yakub was mocked and teased, being called the Big Head Scientist. After graduating from the colleges and universities of his nation, Yakub began to preach a new doctrine to the people in the city. Yakub called his new doctrine Trichnology, and his holy book was called the Book of Trichnology of 120 Degrees. Yakub taught that if people followed his doctrine, then they would be able to rule the world for 6,000 years, and make slaves out of everyone else on the earth. Yakub made such impressions on the people that many people began following him. The children who once mocked and teased Yakub were now requesting to be part of what he was teaching. The girls who once laughed at Yakub were now women who desired him. As Yakub's teachings spread, he made more and more converts to his new doctrine, and the power of Yakub's doctrine began to intimidate the king of the surface-dwelling humans, who ordered to have Yakub and all of his followers thrown in prison. The police arrested all of Yakub's followers and put...
I want to pause real quick and say thank you guys for listening. I know that we may have an issue, you know, with the robot talking and stuff like that, but really, if you guys really, really listen... You know what I'm saying? She's really spitting some, I mean, she, you know, sometimes we were unable to have the voice for some whatever reason, and so they did the overbite with the robot. So if you guys find a way, there's a 20-minute clip after this 45-minute clip. So that pretty much has it, has everything within 20 minutes, but I needed to play that one too, but the robot is saying some great stuff, guys. I hope you guys are listening. All right.
In prison, and filled up all of the prison cells with Yakub's followers. However, there was not enough space to put all of Yakub's followers in jail. Therefore, there were still some people free who were spreading Yakub's teachings. The police notified the king that they did not have enough space for all of Yakub's followers, and at that point, the king decided to go to Yakub's prison cell and negotiate a deal. The king went to visit Yakub in his prison cell, and the king said, "So you are Mr. Yakub?" Yakub said, "Yes, I am." The king said, "Yakub, I have come to see if we could work out some agreement that would bring about an end to this trouble. What would you suggest?" Yakub said to the king, "If you give me and my followers everything to start a civilization, and furnish us with money and other necessities of life for 20 years, I will take my followers and we will leave. The king was pleased with the deal offered by Yaqub and agreed to take care of them for 20 years, until Yaqub's followers were able to go for themselves. After 20 years, the government began to make preparation for the exiling of Yaqub and his followers. The king ordered everyone rounded up who was a believer in Yaqub's doctrine, and they took them to the seaport and loaded them on ships. When Yaqub and his followers departed, there were a total of 59,999 followers plus Yaqub, making 60,000 total people on 100 ships. Yaqub and his fleet of ships departed from an area 20 miles outside of the present-day city of Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and set sail on the Red Sea, and sailed all the way around the continent of Africa to go to their destination, which was the area which is currently called the island of Patmos, or Paimon, in the Aegean Sea. While on the ships sailing around Africa to get to the area which is currently called the island of Patmos, Yaqub began the second part of his plan, which was a eugenics human graftation experiment. Even though all of the people on the surface of the earth were of one tribe, the Ebonoid tribe, there was still some variation within the Ebonoid tribe, and Yaqub began to highlight these differences, and Yaqub taught these people that they were special, because Yaqub planned to use them to graft his new tribe. Yaqub developed his theory by studying his own genetics under the microscope and noticing that there were two different genes in him, one gene that was dark, his father Yishak's family, the Shamuk, and the other that was not dark, from his mother Princess Lusina's family, the Sini. Yaqub began to have children with the women on the ship, and the babies which were born that were a lighter complexion he would spare their life, but the babies which were born which were of a darker complexion, Yaqub would have thrown overboard into the ocean. Yaqub felt if he could successfully separate the darker gene from the lighter gene, then he could graft the Ebonoid tribe into its last stage, which would be albinoid. Yaqub planned to create a tribe of albinoid, which he discovered was weaker than the Ebonoid gene, which would be unalike, to rule the Ebonoid nation for 6,000 years. When Yaqub's followers found out about his new wicked plan, and learned that he was killing and throwing babies overboard into the ocean, 95% of his followers lost their loyalty to Yaqub, and abandoned his mission and jumped ship. As Yaqub's fleet of ships sailed around Africa, people who lost loyalty to his mission would jump ship into the areas which are now Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Djibouti, Somalia, Mozambique, Namibia, Senegal, Morocco, and Tunisia. 10% of the original 60,000 of Yaqub's followers betrayed Yaqub and jumped ship. 85% of the original 60,000 of Yaqub's followers jumped ship because they were confused why he would do such a horrible thing, leaving only 5% of the original 60,000 of Yaqub's followers who actually made it to their destination of the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. As king on his island, Yaqub set up birth control and planned parenthood laws which would contribute to his plan of negative eugenics and genocide to breed his albinoid tribe. Yaqub made it a law that only the lighter complexion people could have children. People with darker complexions were put to death, and when children were born, nurses were ordered to have the darker babies killed by pricking the brains with a sharp needle as soon as the child's head was out of the mother, but the lighter babies were allowed to live. Yaqub's aim was to kill and destroy the Ebonoid nation. Yaqub would have the dead bodies of the darker babies fed to wild beasts, and if they could not find the wild beast to feed the bodies to, they would take the dead bodies of the babies to a cremator to be burned. This is the level of intense hatred Yaqub had in his heart. This process went on for years on Yaqub's island as Yaqub trained his sons and grandsons to carry on his work after he died. Yaqub died at the age of 150 years old from a brain tumor. As the father of trichnology, Yaqub taught his people a doctrine which would enable them to rule the world for 6,000 years. Yaqub also taught his people that God is a spirit and a spook and not a man, and Yaqub was the founder of the doctrine that unlike attracts and like repels. After 200 years on Yaqub's island, all of the darker babies had been done away with, and all babies were born of a new tribe called the Rubetoid tribe. After another 200 years, all babies were born of an even newer tribe called the Citronoid tribe. And finally, after another 200 years, which makes 600 years total, all the babies born on Yaqub's island were of Yaqub's desired albinoid tribe. It took 600 years to breed Yaqub's albinoid tribe, and every imagination of their heart and all of their actions were wicked continuously. The evilness of the albinoids not only affected themselves, but also affected the other peoples of the world. Yaqub's albinoids returned to the city where they were exiled from. Once back in the city, it took only 6 months for Yaqub's albinoids to cause chaos and war amongst the Ebonoid people. The king of the Ebonoid people realized that it was Yaqub's albinoids who were causing all the trouble, and the king made a decree to drive Yaqub's evil albinoids from amongst them. The king rounded up all of Yaqub's albinoids and stripped them of their clothing, and put an apron on them to hide their nakedness, and sent his army with them across the desert to cross the burning sands into the place which is modern-day Europe. Yakub's Salvinoids were roped into the mountains and caves, and the king's army would patrol the area to make sure Yakub's Salvinoids stayed in the mountains and caves for 2,000 years to ensure that these people are kept away from the Evanoid people. During this 2,000-year period living in the mountains and caves without anything to start civilization, Yakub's Salvinoids became shameless and lost all sense of shame and started going nude. And in the winter they wore animal skins for clothes and grew hair all over their bodies and faces like all the other wild animals. Yakub's Salvinoids tamed the wolves and dogs to live in the caves with them, and after some time the dog held a high place among their family, becoming their best friend. After 2,000 years of living in the caves, the wickedness of Yakub's Salvinoids was observed, and an Evanoid man named Moshe was sent to civilize them. Moshe led Yakub's Salvinoids out of the caves. However, once out of the caves, free from the caves, Yakub's Salvinoids went on a rampage throughout the earth, conquering and subjecting the Evanoid people, hitting one against the other using the idea of divide and conquer. Yakub's Salvinoids began to execute Yakub's plan for them to rule the world for 6,000 years. A man named Mahamdu attempted to teach Yakub's Salvinoids to convince them to end their devilishment. However, this was still 1,400 years before the end of Yakub's Salvinoids' 6,000-year period of dominion over the earth. And so, Yakub's Salvinoids ruled the earth for 6,000 years, spreading their devilishment, evil, pain, suffering, and oppression to the Evanoid people of the earth as designed by the big-head scientist Yakub. The events of Yakub occurred approximately 6,600 years ago, and the 24 wise elder scientists of the inner earth foresaw the birth of Yakub 15,000 years ago. This history, or teacher, of Yakub and his people was predicted and foretold by the 24 wise elder scientists of the inner earth 8,400 years before the birth of Yakub. The 24 wise elder scientists of the inner earth were aware of the birth of Yakub, and they were aware of the things Yakub would do before Yakub was even born. The 24 wise elder scientists of the inner earth predicted that in the year 8,400, this man Yakub would be born, and when this man was born, he will change civilization in the world, and produce a new tribe of people, who would rule the original Evanoid people for 6,000 years, from the 9,000th year to the 15,000th year. After the 6,000-year rule of Yakub's people, the Evanoid people would give birth to one whose wisdom, knowledge and power would be infinite. One whom the world would recognize as being the greatest and mightiest since the creation of the universe, and that Yakub's old warring wicked world would be removed and destroyed, and the Evanoid nation would be restored into power to rule forever and to establish a world of peace and righteousness. This great redeemer of the Evanoid people, who was predicted by the 24 wise elder scientists of the inner earth to bring balance back into the world, is known under many names, titles, and attributes, including He Who Has No Equal, He Who There Never Was Anyone Like, the Supreme Being, the Mighty, the Wise, the Best Knower, the Light, the Life Giver, the Guide, the All-Powerful, He Who Knows How to Reproduce the Universe and the People of His Choice. But his mother calls him Yashmal. Yashmal was the son of Princess Radhiya of the Shuyuk family, and Prince Atif the Sinin family. Yashmal's parents, Princess Radhiya and Prince Atif, married each other in order to establish peace between their two quarreling tribes. However, the union of Princess Radhiya and Prince Atif was more than mere chance. Their union was specifically guided, selected, and arranged by the 24 wise elder scientists of the inner earth, who were also genetic engineers. They knew that the offspring of the union between Princess Radhiya and Prince Atif would be the personification of order to balance out and offset the chaos of Yakub, who was the offspring of Yashak and Princess Lutina. Yashmal began his education on the day he was born, as is the custom amongst members of the Shuyuk. It would be unheard of for a member of the Shuyuk to wait until the age of 4 to start school unless the child was mentally handicapped. Being part Shuyuk and part Sinin, Yashmal's head was noticeably larger than the other members of the Shuyuk and Sinin. Yashmal had an enormous head, two brains, and a third enlarged pineal gland which sat in the center of his two brains, making the top of his head appearing to be shaped like three orbs. Amongst the Shuyuk and Sinin, Yashmal would be called the big head scientist. However, amongst these tribes, this statement was not taken to be an insult, but rather a compliment, alluding to the individual's intelligence in the same way that saying big muscles alludes to an individual's strength. Since Yashmal was raised in his native land amongst his people who looked like him, he did not suffer from the same ridicule, mockery, and low self-esteem which plagued his cousin Yakub, who grew up in a foreign land amongst other than self and kind. As a child, Yashmal was an exceptional prodigy and a genius. Yashmal was also told stories of the evil activities which transpired at the hands of his cousin Yakub. One day, When Yash Mal was 9 years old, he was playing with two electromagnets in the home of his grandfather King Kyokor, and noticed that electrons flowing in the same direction through two electromagnets would create the magnetic phenomenon of attraction, and that electrons flowing in opposite directions through two electromagnets would create the magnetic phenomenon of repulsion. By observing this, Yash Mal realized that like flowing energies create attraction and unlike flowing energies create repulsion. Thus, Yash Mal was inspired with a determined idea to direct the flow of mental energy of the Ebonoid people of the planet in the same direction so that the Ebonoid people of the planet will be unified again to be strong and righteous, and bring peace and balance back to the Earth forever. Upon coming to this realization, Yash Mal looked up at his grandfather King Kyokor and said, "Grandfather, when I get older, I am going to make a people strong and righteous, and I will eliminate the devilishment which has come into the world to show and prove real power and wisdom, and bring back peace and supreme balancement forever." Grandfather King Kyokor said, "What will you make? Someone to establish order and cause harmony in the world." Yash Mal said, "Man plans, and I plan, and surely I am the better planner." And it was at that moment, the boy Yash Mal first came into the knowledge of just who he was, born to establish order, bring peace, build, create, and be the redeemer to the Ebonoid peoples of Earth. It is common for members of the Shuyuk tribe to finish all of the coursework taught in all of the colleges and universities of the surface world by age 9, but Yash Mal finished by age 7. If it took a member of the Shuyuk tribe until age 18 to finish all of the coursework taught in all of the colleges and universities of the surface world, then that person would surely be looked at as being mentally handicapped or mentally retarded. Yash Mal finished all of the advanced universal sciences which are taught by the schools in the inner Earth by the time he was age 12. Even though it is common to finish this coursework by age 15, but Yash Mal was a genius and a prodigy. After finishing school, Yash Mal met with the 24 wise elder scientists of the inner Earth and told them of his intention to travel to the surface world as a bringer of peace and redeemer of the Ebonoid people. Yash Mal was tried and tested by the 24 wise elder scientists of the inner Earth, and once found worthy, at age 18, Yash Mal traveled to the area presently known as the Mwanza region near the countries of Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya in Africa. Yash Mal called his new doctrine Teachnology, and his holy book was called the Book of Teachnology of 720 degrees, which was in a question and answer format designed to get the mental energies of the listeners flowing in the same direction, which would in turn create unity, harmony, and attraction amongst kindred. Yash Mal's new doctrine was so powerful that he had millions of people from all of the tribes on the earth coming to hear his message and aspiring to be a part of his mission. However, from the millions of followers that he gained on the surface of the earth, Yash Mal only selected 144,000, which he called the chosen few, to be a part of the next phase of his plan. And when Yash Mal and his chosen few departed, he told the people on the surface of the earth he would be back in one day. So Yash Mal selected 41,150 Ebonoid females and 41,140 Ebonoid males for a total of 82,290 people from the original Ebonoid tribe. Yash Mal selected 10,285 Rubedoid females and 10,285 Rubedoid males for a total of 20,570 people from the Rubedoid tribe. Yash Mal selected 10,285 Citronoid females and 10,285 Citronoid males for a total of 20,570 people from the Citronoid tribe. And Yash Mal selected 10,285 albinoid females and 10,285 albinoid males for a total of 20,570 people from the albinoid tribe, which made 144,000 people total. Yash Mal took his followers into the inner earth through an opening beneath the Great Lake in the present-day area known as the Mwanza region in Africa to begin his eugenics genetic engineering experiment of grafting the various tribes of people on the earth back into the original Ebonoid tribe. Yash Mal, being a master genetic engineer who was all-wise, right, and exact, knew that it was not necessary to kill anyone in order to accomplish his goal because he had knowledge of the science of dominant and recessive genes. Knowing that the Ebonoid tribe was the first, then Yash Mal knew the Ebonoid gene would be the most dominant, followed by the Rubedoid gene, followed by the Citronoid gene, and lastly followed by the Albinoid gene. While inside the inner earth with his followers, Yash Mal applied the science of dominant and recessive genes to design and engineer a system of arranged marriages by which the offspring born from each arranged marriage would have certain desirable qualities, and in time over a period of 900 years, all of the derivative tribes would have been grafted back into the original Ebonoid tribe. Yash Mal also observed that the gene of the Ebonoid woman was the most dominant gene, and so Yash Mal established the following rules of arranged marriages amongst his followers. 10,285 Ebonoid women and 10,285 Ebonoid men would marry to keep the Ebonoid gene strong and pure. 10,285 Ebenoid women who marry 10,285 Rubenoid men. 10,285 Ebenoid women would marry 10,285 Citronoid men. 10,285 Ebenoid women would marry 10,285 Albinoid men. 10,285 Ebenoid men would marry 10,285 Rubenoid women. 10,285 Ebenoid men would marry 10,285 Citronoid women. 10,285 Ebenoid men would marry 10,285 Albinoid women. Yashmal would also keep 10 Ebenoid women as wives for himself. The men and women were required to get married by age 19, and each couple were to have 2 children. Living in the inner earth where he was from, Yashmal was continuously regenerated and rejuvenated and did not die like his cousin Yakub on the surface of the earth. Yashmal was able to teach, socialize, laugh, play with the children, enjoy life, and observe the generations and progression of his followers over the centuries. The offspring of the Ebenoid woman and the Ebenoid man would always be Ebenoid. The offspring of the Ebenoid woman and the Rubenoid man would also be Ebenoid because of the strength of the Ebenoid woman's genes. The offspring of the Ebenoid woman and the Citronoid man would be Ebenoid 75% of the time, and Rubenoid 25% of the time, because of the strength of the Ebenoid woman's genes. The offspring of the Ebenoid woman and the Albinoid man would be Ebenoid 75% of the time, and Citronoid 25% of the time, because of the strength of the Ebenoid woman's genes. The offspring of the Ebenoid man and the Rubenoid woman would be Ebenoid 75% of the time, and Rubenoid 25% of the time. The offspring of the Ebenoid man and the Citronoid woman would be Rubenoid. The offspring of the Ebenoid man and the Albinoid woman would be Citronoid. With the laws of arranged marriages in place, it would take Yashmal's chosen 144,000 people 46 generations over the course of 900 years to be grafted back into the original Ebenoid tribe. During this time, for some generations recessive genes would tumble forward. After 12 generations, all of the Albinoids had been grafted back into the Citronoid, Rubenoid, and Ebenoid tribes. After another 16 generations, all of the Citronoids had been grafted back into the Rubenoids and Ebenoids. After another 18 generations, all of the Rubenoids had been grafted back into the Ebenoids, leaving only the original Ebenoid tribe. It was also observed that after 4 generations, if the Albinoids refused to mix in, then they would be unable to conceive offspring after the 4th generation. After 8 generations, if the Citronoids refused to mix in, then they would be unable to conceive offspring after the 8th generation. After 16 generations, if the Rubenoids refused to mix in, then they would be unable to conceive offspring after the 16th generation. Just like electrons flowing from atoms with more electrons to atoms with fewer electrons, it was necessary for the derivative tribes to mix back into the original Ebenoid tribe in order to get recharged and sustain and maintain their existence. However, because of the science of recessive and dominant genes, by mixing back into the original Ebenoid tribe, the derivative tribes would eventually be grafted back into the original Ebenoid tribe in time, leaving only the original Ebenoid tribe on the surface of the planet. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And so Yashmal smiled at this fact, now having knowledge that the evil acts done by his cousin Yakub would be reversed just by letting nature take its course. The process of grafting the derivative tribes back into the original Ebenoid tribe took 900 years, and once completed, Yashmal took another 100 years to teach and train his followers how to control and conquer the evil which existed within themselves, rather than attempting to graft the evil out, letting it manifest and personify as a being. After the 1,000-year period with Yashmal in the inner earth, Yashmal returned to the surface of the earth to the area presently known as the Mwanza region in Africa with 144,000 Ebenoid people. When Yashmal and his 144,000 followers returned, the people on the surface of the earth said, "Yashmal, you said you would be gone for one day, and you were true to your word. You have only been gone for one day, but many of the people you have returned with are not the same people you left with. What have you done with our brothers and sisters?" One of the Ebenoid women named Kidara, who was one of Yashmal's wives and one of the 144,000, spoke up and said, "I am the daughter and great descendant of your brothers and sisters, which it seems to you left with Yashmal just yesterday, but we have been with Yashmal in the inner earth for 1,000 years, and Yashmal has taught us the science of genetics and how to rid the world of evil, as well as how to conquer the evil within ourselves." Yashmal spoke and said, "Indeed, one day in the inner earth can be like 1,000 years." Yashmal's 144,000 followers then proceeded to teach the Ebenoid people on the surface of the earth the way to defeat the evil currently plaguing the earth in the same way that Yashmal had taught them. Yashmal returned to the inner earth with his Ebenoid wife Kidara. After returning to the inner earth, Yashmal was elected to a seat as one of the 24 wise elder scientists of the inner earth. Yashmal taught Kedarla the secret to eternal life and they had many children together. Yashmal told Kedarla that the Ebonoid woman is the human representative of nature on the surface of the earth, and thus the Ebonoid woman is the key to destroying the evil plaguing the surface of the earth, and she is the key to bringing peace and balance back to the surface of the earth. Yashmal told Kedarla that it was not him who the 24 wise elder scientists of the inner earth had prophesied about, it was her, the Ebonoid woman. Yashmal told Kedarla that he was merely a conduit to allow her to bring balance back to the earth. And so while the big head scientist Yashmal's followers execute his plan on the surface of the earth, Yashmal and Kedarla wait with their family in the inner earth for the hereafter, that is to say, here on earth, after evil has been removed, and peace and balance has been restored.
I was about to ask y'all.
We got wine, spirits, and finer food. According to what Master Farad Muhammad taught me on the race question, the origin of the races, in the beginning of the races, they numbered around four. And from these four races, many different types of people, but they are not, say, independent in the beginning. They came from one. We say today we have lots of various color people all over the earth, from we say from brown to white. We are not all the same color due to intermixing with such colors as black, brown, yellow, and red and white. This has produced many other various colors. And the origin of it, teachings of Master Farad Muhammad, to me, was from a scientist, a god. We see him. We see him as a god. Back 6,000 years ago, started a scientific, or I should say, a master grafting work on the human being to produce a new civilization, a new race of people from the original race of people, our aboriginal people. This man, Yaqub, who discovered in the joint of the black man that he had two people in here, and that he had learned through study and experimenting on joint, this second joint could produce a powerful people that would be able to rule that which they came from. For around 6,000 years until the father, the aboriginal, produces one superior to his man. And that was this, that he taken through experimental work on the germ of man, a people of what we call today a white race. But before he produced it, that white race, he produced it a brown race. He produced it a yellow race, and so on. Various, his first grafting from the black man, according to the teachings of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom we see him and know him today as being God in person. That this grafting, in its first stage, he had a brown race of people from a black people. And it taken him, according to the teachings of God, 200 years to produce that brown race. And he kept up the process, killing off the browner or the darker one, and marrying the lighter one onto the lighter one. For another 200 years, he had a yellow race of people. And in this length of time, these brown people were spreading over the area, I would say migrating over the earth to find them a home to themselves. And so when the yellow race was produced, he started to migrating over the earth. And from the yellow race, about 200 years, this grafting kept in process. There was on the same outlet, well, it was an outlet, it was on, according to the teachings of Almighty God to me, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise it through forever. At that time, 200 years, keeping up birth control law, this is what he established on this, was his lab that he was awakened, we call it a human lab, to produce his man. And from this yellow race, he had a white race 200 years later from then. And this was the end of his work. This was the man he was trying to get to. That was our white race. And that made it, in the total time of this grafting out from black, white, 600 years. And this figure tallies with the Bible teaching of the man being created in 6 days. This is this day's video you have means about 100 years each, 600 years. And this also tallies with the creation of the universe. That's six, the whole entire universe, according to the Quran, was also created in six thirds of time. And so Mr. Yaku, the mighty scientist of that time, he produced it, his man, on six, because it did tally with the creation of the universe, and it was to this number. That he could not from his will. And they would be masters, gods, to rule the earth and the people, everything of life, for 6,000 years. And at the end of 6,000 years, the Aboriginal people will have at that time produced it, another one. Mightier in Yaku, in wisdom, knowledge, and he would be equal with that one that created the devil's ambition, and he would have the power and the ministry of wisdom to make his word. He, that's the question.
Again, sorry for the ass, you guys.
The special series, Hometown Kickstart, premieres Sunday night at 8.
We almost done with this.
Sure, Muslim men, you need to watch this ad right now. Now, I've probably seen a lot of ads online about people making money online, people earning income, etc. Now, the thing is, the reason why you see these ads is because ads like this, for me, for example, in the first one.
Assalamu alaikum. I do have a few questions. Could you please explain Yaqub's Wrath the Devil?
What would you like explained about that? But now I do remember, in fact, one of the questions one of the brothers just mentioned. So when he said that a man named Jacob grafted the devil in the year 8,400 on the island of Pilar, they kept giving figurative places. They were given allegorical interpretation. Y'all go back to head the size of two men. And while in the backyard of his uncle, he discovered a man with two pieces of metal and other life attracted alike. And he told his uncle, I'm going to make the devil weak and wicked and give the power to rule the world for 6,000 years. Then I'm going to come in my own good time and do what? Take the devil off the planet to show him proof that I am Allah. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. And this is what Clarence 13X, the head of the nation of five descendants from gods and goddesses, remember the name they chose, they have that right, teaches today. Now let's look into this here. The word Yaqub is Jacob. We know that. It means to take someone else's position. That's what it means, supplant. To supplant him in the place of him. All right? Now, if we go back to Jacob's situation, we come up with Jacob's mother, Rebecca, trying to deceive Isaac, Isaac, because he was blind. He was so old, and his vision went on him. Correct? And she preferred the soft son. You see that? The one who was soft, and they also say reddish. You see? You see, we'll see the science that Master Farad Muhammad was teaching is deep. So what she did, the woman, was deceive her husband into giving the blessings of the household to Jacob as opposed to Esau. You follow that? Rivka, or Rebecca, deceived her husband, Isaac, into giving the birthright to the son, Jacob, instead of to the son it should have been, Esau. Now, I've already told you what the son Esau did when he realized he was deceived. He was a result of the Mongoloid race, the Edomite race. Now, they come in all colors. Why are they coming in all colors? Well, read and you'll find out in Genesis that Esau married an Ishmaelite and a Hittite. So he married white and black and mixed in. So there'll be black Mongoloids and there'll be white Mongoloids. They'll come in all races. You understand me? So when this woman deceived her husband, they placed the wrong son in authority. He was supplanted. This Jacob, or Yaqub, was put in the place of his older brother Esau, his twin, by the way. Now, the Israelite nation says that Esau, because his name became Edom, and Edom means red or to blush, you know, the term blushing in the cheeks, was the father of the white race, the black people that blush red. They blush and their face turns red. That means that they are part of the white race.
No. Just admit it's a mistake. And let's move on to the truth. So now what happens is Jacob fathers 12 sons by 4 wives. Because the genes have been scrambled. The devil did a good job of scrambling our genes. That was his thing.
All right. That may be it for that clip. I have another clip, too.
Wendy? Yes, Lisa. Is the water warm enough?
should have grabbed like a pencil and paper, because he's going to name all 32. All 32. He's going to name all of the original scientists, okay? So please be sure to grab your notebooks. And for the last hour, you guys, I'm going to play clips, you know, to kind of give you an idea, two clips to give you an idea of, well, I'm going to close out the show as far as the lecture is concerned. But then I'm going to give you, you know, just leave you guys with two, well, first what's going on as to karma, and then what we need to do in our now moment. All right. Well, a suggestion. We're not here to tell you what to do. You do what you want, but, you know, just as sometimes we need help on the how. So, all right.
My name is Nev Kamusin Atumuri, and this is the fifth video in the Black History Series, 200 Fallen Angels. Now, Elohim gods are not little, fat, nude, melanin, recessive people with wings. This is how the painter, sculptor, Michelangelo, a name which means Angel Michael, and by which he is perpetrating a fraud, depicted their image. He has made the image of Canaanite, Caucasian, barbarians, angels with wings. Because long before his depiction, in Egypt, there were beings who had wings, and that image had to be changed, just like the image of Cleopatra. So he changed this image by first of all painting a mural of God and his angels called God Created Man on the ceiling of the Sistine Cathedral in Rome, which gives people the sense of looking up to the sky for their creator. Then having you pray to this Caucasian beast man and his helpers with wings. So now everyone thinks that God is a Canaanite, Caucasian, clean the leper, Leviticus 13:13, and angels are albinos with wings. However, in actuality, Elohim, angels are simple electromagnetic currents from other galaxies who came as spiritual contacts from God. They may appear in human form or in spiritual form, yet they are Aetherians. When an angel takes on a human body, they are called Elehu, Jethet, in Ashuric, Syriac, Arabic. The word Jethet means solid body, which is similar to Jismun, or physical body. When you add the prefix muta to a word, it means very. And then you put the word elehu, which means one who is very divine. You have more than just charged divinely. This means the power of God is working through this body. They are Aetherians and angels that incarnate and appear as man, such as Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, Uriel, and Israel. But they are also Elehu Mutajethet, which are oftentimes called avatars. Sometimes they are called heavenly hosts, extraterrestrial beings, celestial beings, or beings from other galaxies, intergalactic beings. Elohim, angels, are frequently mentioned as men throughout the scriptures. Yahuwah, the God, the Elohim gods, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel, to Abraham, son of Nuna and Terah. And they ate a meal of meat and bread with him. Genesis 18:2. If you were to continue reading further in Genesis chapter 18, you will see that the Elohim gods, Michael, returned to the heavens, and the other two Elohim gods, Uriel and Raphael, went to Sodom toward Lot, son of Jordana and Aran, to flee the wicked city, which was about to be destroyed because of their unrighteousness. The residents tried to push into the house But the Elohim God pulled Lot inside and closed the door. Genesis 19:11-13. The Elohim God appeared on earth as man to many people. It's right in your Bible. However, they want you to believe that Elohim gods are spooks. Point to remember is that agreeable and disagreeable forces incarnate into your realm. That means that there are two classes of Elohim gods, seraphim and cherubim, and from them are many degrees. The first class, seraphim, are those of the pure green essence of life called Nur. The seraphim possess 180 degrees of positive or agreeable. They are masters, elders, or scientists who came to this planet for specific reasons at specific times. They have been studying us and our planet for many years. They number 24 in all. They are spoken in the book of Revelation, who sat before God in their seats and fell upon their faces and worshiped the Almighty God. See that? Now that is contrary to what the black devils have told us, which is God don't pray. The prophet Enoch was taken into the heavens. He prayed to his sustainer 16,000 times a day. So there is a connection between continuous prayer and being granted the right to visit the heavens. Wouldn't you agree? Holy Tablet, chapter 14, Tablet 1, verses 1 through 10, quote, "Lo, after the fall of the Amulet of Nar, Hilal, and his host of 200 jinn, son of Zakar and Nakebo, and his children lived with them in the forbidden zone called by the name Nar. After I sent down 23 Anunnaki. They are Akatriel, Anathiel, Azbuk-Ael, or Melchior, the first wise man, Barujiel, the second wise man, or Jasper, Kimuel, or Balthazar, the third wise man, Chayel, or Zozar, Abdur Kudus, Galgaliel, Haniel, or Gabriel, Yufiel, or I am Hotep, Jahuil, or Uziel, Mataturun, Raoil, Adesim, or Rahma, Raduariel, Razuel, Rigbiel, or the angel Raphael, Mahaya Eli, Shamuel, or the angel Uriel, Yanan, Michael, Murduk, or the angel Melchizedek, Surial, Enlil, or Nunanir, Yafafial, Zagzagul, or the angel Israel, or Enfi, and Sangdampun, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And the 24th seat is open to all the news bearers. These Anunnaki are called Sarufat. The 23 Sarufat took mortal women to conceive sons and daughters, in order that we may become one with you in strength. But even after that, you fail, unquote. And the 25th is the one of the 24 who takes the seat of the overseer, as the 19th becomes the 25th in the renewal of history, as Yanun becomes Melchizedek, which takes place every equinox. When Yanun personified in the year 1970 AD into Isa el-Hadi el-Mahdi, called then Imam Isa, and he descended on the planet Earth, he took the seat of the 25th, and another Anunnaki was placed in the 19th seat. These beings that are here in this realm are masters or elders who have come from other galaxies. Do you understand? They have come for the sole purpose of gathering the children of the Elohim and restoring us back to that pure state from which we came. The angelic beings, avatars, all have the ability to turn their bodies into crystal starships, a weird living crystal, by speeding up their chakras or spiritual centers. Just like the angel Gabriel, his starship has the appearance of a seven-pointed star. Holy Tablets, chapter 6, tablet 7, verses 55 through 66. The angel Melchizedek taught this ability and how to visit or and ascend the spiritual plane to us in Anu's college. When one ascends, the physical body appears to be in slumber, in a dreamlike state, or in a trance. This is the time when the spiritual body, physical body, drawing the spiritual soul upwards. During these hours of sleep, it is quite easy to ascend accidentally. There are two ways to ascend from the physical, and they are the following. One, with the body, raising the vibration of your physical body up to the level of your spirit and the soul, then continuing to raise the vibrations until you pass through the ethereal cord freely, taking the physical body with you. The other way is leaving the body and only allowing the spirit and soul to ascend. They have been well-disciplined men that have achieved perfection and were able to ascend to the spiritual plane without dying. They were selected into the mystery schools, learned the ways of life, follow the teaching, this is important, and pass the ultimate test where they became upright men. All the prophets like Enoch, Noah, Jesus, the prophet Mustafa Muhammad Amin, son of Abdullah and Amina, El Mahdi, just to name a few, were taught the mysteries and traveled the journey of life. So angelic beings are beings from the fourth plane, the mental plane, who is thought. Thoughts are formed, and all individuality is outgrown. This is the plane where man and mind meet. The fourth plane is also where the angel Melchizedek and the angelic being are living, called Malakut, the realm of the angelic being. Malakut is the pathway where spiritual beings come into. It is a gateway through the vortex. Angels vibrate on this realm and start going up higher. When the spiritual being reaches the fourth realm or density, then they'll decide to come to the physical plane. So being able to turn one's body into a ship would give greater significance to the prayer of Asaru, which is recited during our daily Tafulat or Ashutat ritual, which was given to us by the angel Melchizedek, who is the master of all time, who is setting all on the path of Tafut, in which we have nine positions. Here we recite, I fly up from you, O mortals. I am not for the earth, I am for the sky. I have soared to the skies, I have kissed the skies as a father. I am the essence of a deity, the son of a deity, the messenger of a deity. I am in the light is entering me. I am life itself. Now this is an affirmation, divine words brought to us by the angel Melchizedek, who was called the heart and tongue, which means that he possessed the reason and power, thought, right reasoning to utter divine words, and hence is called divine wisdom. For he is the needful Lord of divine words of power. Action is the meaning of divine words. Affirmations are designed to get us in formation or in format which is the transforming of ourselves from mortal to immortal. The angel Melchizedek came in order to inform us, in order to reform us, which he is the reformer, and what he has always claimed to be. You see, we have to be informed in order to be reformed, because information is the reformation of our transformation. So, from Tablet chapter 6, Tablet 16, verses 106 through 108 states, for never will Ion El, the Most High, Allah's majesty descend on earth for you, but rather he has sent you his words by way of his angelic being, that you may find your way home, rise up to heaven, the heaven of the sustainer. Onward. So Conan, even though these videos are given a false sense of affinity, being maliciously misrepresented by false computation, their impact is still very stunning. Because now, 2 years since the first video, and despite all the disagreeable deterrence, the dynamic teaching of the highly esteemed Dr. Malachi Zio is now impacting the younger generation, whilst combating all the negatively influential media attempts at character assassination. However, I do feel like a celebrity under tight security, you know, with all those Snoop Dogs hovering around, all those eyes on me, the FBs and the GBs. What are they looking for? I'll tell you what, people. You see, I have no criminal record, never have been locked up, never smoked. I do drink kosher wine on the Sabbath. Never took any mind-enhancing narcotic drugs. I work, pay my taxes, and take care of my family. So, that should make me a model citizen, right? Pink, wrong. The problem comes in when I proclaim that I worship Anu, Alion El. Not God, not Jesus, not Muhammad, not Buddha, none of the present-day religious figures. Shaitan hates that. He's got to try to stop that. Because, see, this is an old war that started from way back in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Also, I teach what the angel Melchizedek taught us, and I will forever shout from the mountaintop that there is no way possible that the ape man could ever capture the angel Melchizedek. So, my slate is squeaky clean. I am wise enough to keep a still tongue and not be entrapped by my own word of mouth, and strong enough not to be seduced by Hilal's female living being and their much coveted wound of Hera, a much overrated quarter pound of mucose excretory tissue, because my psychic self-defense is in full effect thanks to the angel Melchizedek. I have no questionable or subversive associations or affiliations, and presently my only association is communion with Anu Alion El and a fervent desire to be with the Anunnaki. Now, Shaitan, yes, I'm talking to you, Nurush. It doesn't matter if you send out your entire army of minions. You don't intimidate me. Baba, the angel Melchizedek, didn't raise any punks. Can't you tell? And you just can't turn me into a bad guy because that is what you want. You cannot and do not control everyone. Some people are just out of your reach. Do you understand? So, dudes, keep watching me if that's your job. I stay entertained anyways daily by the Snoop Dogg, Peekaboo, Sesame Street, antics of trained professionals. Wow. I am not worried anyways because I know that the avatar, Dr. Malachi Ziyok, is in control of this situation. The angel Melchizedek always wins. Believe me, people, old man got this. Watch what he says in Holy Chapter, Chapter 6, Tablet 7, verses 67 through 70. And I quote, I, Marduk, Mikael, also taking the form of time, ever so gentle of speech, father of the heavenly hosts, as an old man illuminating the chlorophyll, C35H70Mg1N406, crystal green light that gives vitality to all living things 360 times and more, providing all forms of food for the body, all forms of knowledge for the mind, ruler of the forces of nature, called by some Father Time, unquote. Now, that's real power, and I've got to get me some of that. The angel that says it, Dr. Malachi Ziyok, is the ruler of the forces of nature. Wow. And there's no defense against the forces of nature. So, Nubian, just have patience and keep watching for the true meaning of justice. Thus ends today's video. We hope you have learned something from this video, and we urge you to share this video and to subscribe to our channel where you will learn true ancient Egyptian mysteries. No more lies, no more guesswork. So share, subscribe. Click on the like button below and see you at the next video.
So we want to take it.
All right, you guys. Hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. Definitely appreciate you guys for listening. So we're going to go ahead and continue. So this is pretty much what's going on, you guys. Karma. You know, karma's going on. The algorithm, you know, what is the algorithm? What is the tone that you set, you guys? One thing I have noticed and learned about synchronicities in geometry is that you set the tone. That is, it's not even a secret. It's just that we have been so programmed and lied to that we just forgot, you know. And coming back into the remembrance, you guys, I am learning you set your own fucking tone. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what tone are you setting for your own, you know, frequency? You know what I'm saying? This is why self work is going to be important. This is why knowing thyself. And when I say knowing, when we say knowing thyself, I really want to stress to you, we live in a positive happy society where it says positive vibes only. No. It is that, okay, Bobby said a long time ago, whatever they tell you that you need to be doing, you need to do the total opposite. Bobby was, because studying your darker self, studying your shadow self, that is your power. That is the black light, you guys. Now, I was a positive Patty too, you know, namaste and shit. And so I woke up one day and was like, wait a minute. You know, so I started to really go into the depths of my own abyss. And I promise you guys, I did not like a lot of it. I still don't like a lot of it, but I'm learning and growing into understanding it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes our demons, our own self demons, our own enemies, right? Sometimes all they need, you guys, is our love. Therefore, they will stop acting erratic. You know what I'm saying? They will stop acting, you know, imbalanced. You know, all they may need is a little nurturing and someone to listen to them. Okay? It sounds crazy, but those that know, know. All right? So 23 algorithm, you know, there is so much magic and so much mystic behind the number 23. Look at the original 23 elders. This is why the number 23, and I'm getting this download as I'm talking, is so important. It's because the 23 elders, so much wisdom and so much enlightenment has been surrounded by the number 23. This is why it's so powerful and important, all right? So just a frequency for you guys that are listening, 23 may be a good number to tune into, all right? I'm not going to tell you how to do it, what you should do first, step one. We have to start to learn how to will these things on our own. You figure it out, you know, and I hate to say it, I don't hate to say it, but I say it so bluntly like that is because truly, if I tell you how to do it my way, that would defeat and negate the beauty in doing it your way. You know, I tell everybody in all my sessions and all my teachings, do it your way. A lot of our elders, you know, who seek to control the narrative, the velvet glove, I've told somebody, the velvet glove is one of the most dangerous people and beings that you could possibly be around. Because they attempt to control narratives. You know, we know who you are. We know who everybody is. But the velvet glove is also a teacher. But do not allow any velvet glove personality to come into your life and try to control anything about your journey. Not even me, because I can shift into a velvet glove too. So, you know, guys. Whatever algorithm you set for yourself is just that, algorithm 44. You know what I'm saying? That has been known to be algorithm of protection. You know, so just know when it comes to sacred geometry, you set the tone. I'll be back to close out the show, guys, but I'm just going to play these two clips, and, I'll be right back.
Brother, sister, celestial energies, brother wisdom. A little later, I'm going to come to you guys with this video on We're going to start on the, we're going to be on the minerals, but we're going to start without the, we're going to start on the sulfo salts, and then from the sulfo salts, we're going to move to the nitrates and, let's see, the nitrates and the phosphates. Oh no, I'll deal with the next video. But the first video that's going to go on is going to be about the sulfur salts, and that's going to be dealing with the minerals. When we do that first part of the sulfur salts with minerals, you will begin to get an understanding of the minerals that's within us. But in the meantime, I just want to talk about karma. You know, karma is something that happens. The laws of karma is something that happens because something else happened. All right? You know, it's the cause and effect. Because this happened, the effect is this or that. Okay? This is the basic laws of karma, and we're watching this happen among these earth beings. You know, you gotta just keep in mind that, you know, these beings have literally did damage to our planet. All right? Karma has no time. All right? There's no time on karma. How this is going to happen, Karma happens when someone awakens. All right? That's when karma happens. So because we have made that awakening, that massive awakening all over the planet, we've made that massive awakening, karma is taking place right now. We're watching it. We're watching it in real time. You know, look at these orc beings. Look at all the mankind and the humans. Look what they did. You know, wiped out whole generations. You know, look over there in Indonesia. Look over there in Papua New Guinea. What they're doing to our people, killing and beating our people, and you know, displacing our people, doing all these things to our people, you know, and they actually think that karma's not going to hit them. You know, look at look at the queen of England, Elizabeth, that fucking lizard ass bitch, fuck her. Look what the fuck she's doing. She's got all of our jewels. She plays a definite role in the destruction of our people. Alright? Look at this. Look at what they're doing. Look how they wiped out whole generations of our people, and then they have it documented and says that we realized as we begin to kill the Negroids, they call us Negroids. As we begin to kill the Negroids, we realized that the planet was cooling off. So therefore, they continued on because they couldn't take the heat from our planet when they first got here. You know, look at when they first got here and they had the zoos and had our people walking around in zoos because their people had never seen us before. Their people had never seen any of us before, and they caused us to fall from our power, and they had zoos. They had us in cages and had us walking around in chains. They were having sex with us and molesting us and cutting us up and all kind of things. I mean, they were just doing everything to us that was against nature. And they thought that they will continue to do that. Look how they're killing our people and taking our body parts and all this stuff. You know, karma is getting ready to take place, my people. Karma is getting ready to take place. That's why I tell our people all the time, I say, you need to get some seeds. You need to get yourself, you know, buy some seeds. Get yourself some canned goods, water, some beans and dry beans and rice and all kind of other food. You know, because karma's getting ready to take place. Locking our people up in jail. You know, the brother get a life sentence for stealing a pack of bubble gum. And these beings laugh about it. You know, brothers and sisters being locked up. They got the sisters in prison wanting to euthanize them so that they won't have children anymore. you know, sterilize them, not euthanize, but sterilize them. But that's the euthanization of their reproductive organs. So we can say euthanize, you know. Look at what they're doing to our people. Now we got a vision of our people, how they hung us and slaughtered us and enslaved us and did whatever they wanted to do, used us to make money. Karma is coming, my people, because we have awakened. Now look at how they cut down the trees and killing the animals for sport. Huh? Just to cut the head of the animal off and put it on a wall. Cutting down the trees because they said, oh yeah, we need to implement a 5G program and the trees is in the way. And they cut down the trees and they dig up the land and take land away from how look how they took away the land from us all over and gave it to some Siberians, some goddamn Siberian humans. Gave it to the Siberians and called the Siberians Indians and gave them our tribal names. And these Siberians are running around here talking about, oh yeah, we the native and we the original people on the land. Alright? This is what they did, my people. How they dig up the ground and constantly taking the oil. And they say, well, you know, the planet replenishes. No, it's not here for you to take. This oil, our planet has veins. This oil belongs in the planet. It's part of the balance and how they offset the balance. Look at the barren lands. You know, when you go into the downtown areas and to the inner city areas or whatever, that's barren land. I don't care how many buildings there, that's barren land because all the trees are gone. All the waters and the rivers and the valleys, that land is barren. It can't produce any fruit because the ground is covered up with concrete and buildings and buildings and buildings. Look at what they're doing, how they're stealing the energy from the planet and got us paying them pieces of paper for energy that's free. Karma is coming. How they spray in the sky so that the planet won't be able to, so that we won't be able to enjoy the planet. How they turned our people against each other when we were once in sync and in tune with each other. Now our people are turned against each other. Look at what they've done. And they do this for monetary values so that we can kill each other, so that you have one person in the grave and they've taken the organs from that one person. You got another person of our people in the jail cell. They making their monies through the stock market on us, whether we're dead or whether we are fucking alive. Karma is coming, and it's coming this year, and karma is already in the beginning stage. We told you guys 2020 will be a complete and total massacre, and this is what's happening. Karma. Karma. Karma has no time. Karma waits when it waits for the person to awaken. So if you got somebody who's fast asleep and somebody done broken their house and destroyed everything, when that person wakes up and finds out who did it, that's when karma takes place. Because karma only happens when those who are asleep have awakened. Like we said, karma has no time. Karma has no time at all. So this is what's happening, my people. This is what's happening. Karma is taking place. And these orc beings, this mankind creature and this human creature on our planet, all right, this mankind creature and this human creature on our planet are going to pay. They're going to pay with their dear life. They're going to pay with their blood. All of them. All of them. We've already established that their forefathers started everything, set the precedent. Their forefathers set the precedent, and they carry the blood of their forefathers. I don't care how much they say, oh, we are, you know, I love your black people. And I'm married to one, and I'm dating, I have black friends. You know, we ain't black. That's number one, we ain't black. But you think that you're doing something? You think that you're trying to make up for what your forefathers did? I don't care what you say. You carry their blood, and karma has to take place because the sins of the father fall upon the children. Karma takes place. Karma is taking place, my people. Karma is happening right now. This coronavirus ain't this is not something that just gonna pass away and disappear. No. It's attacking every bloodline, and it ain't finished. There are three more, even more deadly viruses that's on the way, and these viruses are going to be attacking the bloodlines of the forefathers, and all of their forefathers did dirt to us. I don't care when they stopped. They said, well, you know, my great-great-great-granddaddy did this, and my great-great-granddaddy did this, and my great-granddaddy did this, but my granddaddy, he made a change. Okay. All right. Your granddaddy made a change. But guess what? He still carried that blood. You got guilty blood. And karma, the laws of karma, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, says for every soul loss, we're taking three of yours. That's what karma says. Because one of us is equal to three of them. That's how powerful we are. One of us is equal to three of them. So for every one of us, it's three of them. China, Japan, Korea, all down in Brazil, in South America, Mexico, Russia, all those areas with their forefathers, Canada, all those areas, every place on this planet where their forefathers came in and decimated the land and killed the people so they could take the land. All of them were going to pay. Karma must take place. Karma must take place. It's going to be a beautiful day. At the same time, it's going to be a day of weeping and crying and blood spilling all over the land because karma must take place. Karma must take place. All power to the multi-chakra celestial energy beings. Just thinking about it. The water. Look at all the fish that they have pulled out the water for profit. Look at all the animals that they have killed and slaughtered for profit. Got their bodies in grocery stores and freezers. Look at what they've done to the planet, to the people, to the animals, to the land, to the sky, to the seas. Look at what they've done. Karma is going to take place. And it's beginning now. 2021, we see no businesses. Karma is taking place now. This is just the beginning. We ain't even got part of the way through this wonderful, beautiful, massacre of a year. Karma must take place, my people. Because they've done too much dirt. And there's nothing where for them to go. There's nothing that they can do. There's nothing, nowhere they can hide, because karma's going to take place. And they will all pay. They will all pay. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angel beings. Peace to you all.
There is better land watered with my soul.
Society, tell them stop riding me, stop driving us into a suicidal ideology. Trying to feed my seeds, getting high in weed, study my degrees, stay fly, getting paper, with some dead white people faces in a circle of spaces around the green. I'm a lean, taking perks, it's a bit of earth, it's a nigga cursed in my bless, see what I mean? It's a test, life is a test, life is like a hood, hard, trying not to fall between the cracks. And the cracks are so dark, and the dark seems more appealing than the light in the land where you gotta fight, catch a body in the night. We need a plan to survive the land, survive the storm when it comes through. Either you're busy living or busy dying, look what it's come to. Look what it's come to. So what you gonna do?
Brothers and sisters, it's Celestial Energy. It's Brother Wisdom. What's going on, guys?
I went on the YouTube community posting and posted about Bebe Kids. And myself and a brother at the workplace, you know, had a really, really big discussion. And, you know, I was telling, you know, we were talking about Bebe Kids and how the movie was so significant, but because at the time we were looking so much at the entertainment in it and laughing that we could not see the message that was being put out. Now you see Bebe left her children. You know, this is done by brother Robin Harris, you know, Mother Nature rest his soul, you know, they did the brother wrong, just like a lot of our people. But, you know, Bebe sent $20, all right, to have the three of them go to this amusement park, all right, with Robin and his girlfriend and her son. Now, you know, everything is numerical value, 20. They gave him $20, two, which is a symbol of angelic energy. Three is the symbol of Trinity. But it was four children in all. So four, which represents perfection. And the youngest was the smartest, who was the baby. But in this thing here with Bebe Kids, it was showing us that you had this Robert Harris' girlfriend, I forget the girlfriend name, or the friend girl, whoever she was, her son was representation of our brothers and sisters who were caught up in the system. You know, oh, you got to do this, you got to pay your taxes, you got to do that, you know, you got to do it the way the law says. Oh, the police get behind you, you got to do this, you know, if they take you to court, you got to do this, you got to pay this, this is what they were. Bebe Kids represented those who were free-hearted, who didn't give a damn about nothing. And they were trying to tell him, you know, because they were picking on him. He was like, you know, you gonna do such, you gonna do this or do that. You know, they were picking on him because he was so closed-minded. How many brothers and sisters you know out there are actually closed-minded? You know, how many brothers and sisters you know who are actually sitting up waiting for the system instead of being a free heart and a free mind, focusing on how to free myself? Very few that you know that you can count on your hand. But it's a whole lot more who caught up in the system. So Bebe Kids was the children and who were like, we're going to have a free heart, we're going to have a free mind, and their energy was so great that the orc beings, or the so-called white people in this movie, were scared of them, and they feared their energy. And they finally woke the young brother up, and he finally realized that he didn't have to be a part of the system. He didn't have to link into the system. He finally realized that I can be free. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to wear a suit. I can wear my locks. I can do what I want to do. I can build what I want to build. So, in the essence of the movie, the energy got so high, and they started doing whatever they wanted to do, and they started fucking that amusement park up, and that amusement park was the representation of this whole governmental structure, because it's just an amusement park. That's all it is. It's not real. It's just an amusement park. It's a game. It's all a fantasy. It's all it is. So they ended up exerting so much energy that even this white police officer began running from them. These were children. They were nothing but children. But the children represented the energy, the power, showing us how much power that we actually have when we have a free mind and a free heart. And they literally brought that amusement park, that colossal, huge amusement park, down to the ground. And this is where we are going. We are going in this route, okay? We're moving in this route because now we're saying, you know, we got to have a free mind. We got a free heart. Well, people say we tired of this shit. You know, so saw a brother at the gas station. He's like, you know, my day has just started, but I don't want to start it. I could be doing something else. And the thing about it is we could be building. We can be creating. I was watching a video of how to build pyramids from bricks. And I'm like, we can do this. We can start building pyramids from bricks. And we can build huge pyramids from bricks. And we can put crystals and all kind of other things into them. We can really, really do this. Because we got to have a free heart and a free mind. We have been through too much pain and suffering. We have gone through 500 years of genocide. These beings doing whatever they want to do to us on our planet. They telling us what we can do, what we can't do, when we can move, when we can walk, how we can talk. They telling us, and they're on our planet. They're on our land. We have to be baby kids. We got to be free and say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care nothing about you. I don't care nothing about your system. Let's turn this car upside down. Let's chase this police officer down and beat the fuck out of his ass. Show him how much power he got. They don't have no power. See, what they've caused upon us is a mental contusion. When you say a contusion is a bruise. So they mentally bruised us and caused us to fall from something that was so powerful. And they want us to live under the likes of them. They want us to continuously take the mess from them spraying the skies and creating winter time, and we going running out buying coats and shoes and boots, and you know, they want us to continually be victims to their system. They don't want us to wake up. They don't want us to see the reality that we're supposed to be a free mind and a free heart. That's what made us so powerful. It's because we had a free mind and a free heart. So they had to force upon us something that was not real. I just had a deja vu occurrence. So I saw myself talking, doing the same speech, but I couldn't remember where I saw it at, but I saw myself. I had to be in the astral room or something. But they want to control our entire livelihood, and we can't let them do it. We can't. We have to become the children. And you see, that's why I like baby kids, because they were just free. They were just free. And like we said, these orc beings, they fear. Their greatest fear of us is a free heart. Their greatest fear is an unlearned heart. And when we talk about unlearned heart, we talk about those who are not learned in that system. And the baby kids, they were unlearned in the system. They didn't care about the police. They didn't care about that. You had this police officer with a gun on his hip and a badge, and he's running from these four children who were literally wreaking havoc in their little la-la land that they created. They tore that thing down. They brought that amusement park to the ground. And this is where we must be. So we got war. We've got a reason to war. And we got, and we're letting them know that, hey, you can't turn us against ourselves anymore. There's many of our people who have worked against their own. We're starting to see that many of them are turning around. Brother Jerome, I got your message too, brother. Hey, my apologies too. All right, my apologies too. We're going to come together one day, two of us and the rest of the brothers and sisters, because we got a lot of work to do. First, we got to prepare our hearts for this inevitable war so that we can go ahead and take back what belongs to us. But yeah, this is what they fear. They fear a free heart. They fear a soul that knows who he or she is. And all these lessons that we have learned, dark energy, worshiping yourself, the light energy, the radiation, the magnetism, the powers that's within us, the ability to control the forces. I mean, all this stuff that we've learned, we must apply it every day. And we must apply it and put it to the test and see that once I link it to myself and there's no more fear, because that's what the baby's kids didn't have. They didn't have fear. There was no fear in their hearts. They didn't care. And this is where we gotta be. I don't care about your system. I don't care about your money. Just like I said, I like the Joker. Why the Joker? He went and broke into the bank and he took all those millions of dollars. He didn't want the millions of dollars for himself. He burnt the shit. He burned it because he says, I don't need it. He says, you guys are crazy. You are crazy. And this whole system is crazy. They're idiots. And a lot of our people, you know, like we said before, they're following after the system, and they keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results. But what did the baby kids do? They didn't do the same thing. They were doing different things. Every time you turn around, they was doing something. They was tearing something up, and it's like, I don't care. It's not mine. And this is how we need to be. It's not my system. Why the fuck should I care? Why the fuck should I care? Why should I care if that building burns down? Oh, let me put it on fire for them. Why should I care? So many of our people are stuck in that mindset that, oh, you know, you gotta care for this right here because, you know, we need the money for this and that. We don't need a goddamn thing for these motherfuckers. We don't need no reparations. I saw something about some reparations or whatever. And I'm like, me and the brother was talking. I said, there is no amount of money that these beings can give us to repair, because reparations is repair rations. That's all reparations is repair rations. So you giving us rations of money to repair something. There is no money on the planet that you can give us to repair the damage that you guys did to our people, wiping out entire generations. When we say entire generations, we mean there are generations right now that were on the realm, or that were here on our realm, within our realm, that are no longer here. The entire bloodline has been destroyed. Whole generations gone. Mother, father, sister, brother, grandmother, grandfather, uncle, aunt, cousin. Whole generations are gone. There is no amount of money that you could possibly give, that you orc beings could possibly give, to replace the bloodlines that were completely wiped off the planet. There's no money. There's no money to give to replace all the trees that you destroyed, all the rivers
and the lakes that you destroyed, all the fruit that you destroyed. And the thing about it is, even our ancient fruit, they have our ancient fruit, the seeds of our ancient fruit, boxed away somewhere at some seed distribution or some seed holding place. Well, they have all of our seeds, and I think it was like three different areas, and one of them got one or two of them got flooded out, and I think they have one left. Well, they have all of our seeds, so there's no amount of money that you can possibly pay us to replace all the gold on our land that you've stolen, the diamonds, the precious gems that we use for technology. We didn't use them to hoard them. That was just a meteor strike that happened in Brazil a few days ago, and some pretty large sized meteors, like a few hundred of them, landed. And you guys can look it up and follow it up on yourself. But several hundred of them landed. And this orc government hears about it. And the Brazilians allowed this. And they ran down there and they put a price on the meteors. This is what they do. This is how low they are. They go and put a price on the meteors. You got something that came from the cosmos for the original people. The shit belongs to us. Whatever comes from the cosmos on this planet belongs to us. This is why we got to get ready and be the fucking baby kids and fuck this shit up and take back what belongs to us and not give a damn about nothing. They put a price. They said, oh, this is worth $26,000. So if you got $26,000, you can have this one big stone. I mean, these are nice size meteors that I saw on the thing I was reading. You look it up. The meteor strike that happened in Brazil. And these orc bands put a price on it. $26,000 per meteor. Because this is what they do. They know nothing else but to put prices on things, and our people have got this notion that, well, you got a price on it, we can do it. No, we got to be the baby kids, and the baby kids knows who the enemies are. The baby kids know these orc things are the enemies. Some of our people today don't know the enemies. They have that time, oh, you can vote for Trump, you can vote for Biden, you can vote for Harris. Guess what? Trump, Biden, and Harris, they're all pedophiles. Huh? They're all pedophiles. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Michael Jordan, they're all pedophiles. Oprah, Ellen, all of them, they're all pedophiles. So the thing about it is, we have an enemy among us, and we have to be the baby kids. And we just have to not give a fucking damn and have a free heart and a free mind and just fuck they shit up. And fuck them up also. Because they got an answer. Their entire species has got an answer for what their forefathers did. And their forefathers did a great disservice to us. A great, great disservice. And we've got to bring the vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Who's the Lord? We are the lords. We are the landlords. We own this planet. We so-called black people are the owners of this planet. And very soon, we're going to have to show our true ownership, because we're going to have to become the baby kids. And we're going to destroy everything that they created and bring this whole goddamn amusement park that they created to the fucking ground. Don't give a damn about the teddy bears and the little whatever else, you know, that the teddy bears and all that represents the money and the cars and the job positions and all that. Don't give a fuck about none of this shit. Just tear the motherfucking shit to pieces. That's what we got to do. We got to become the baby kids and say, you know what? It's over. It's over. Anybody who wants to depart and say, I don't want to do that. You hold your hands up, you say, it ain't time to go yet. What, you trying to leave us? Uh-uh. You joining in with us because you're a part of this. Yeah. We got to become the baby kids and not give a fuck at all. All right, guys. Listen to motivation. Because we're getting ready for war. You can, and these orb beings can feel this shit in the air. They can feel it in the air. It's filling the atmosphere. It's all over. The tension is high. Because we're ready to get rid of them. No more negotiations. No mercy. No nothing. And we're going in. And we're going in head first. And like one, the brother was saying, he said, you know what, how are we going to get the heads of them? I said, how do you think you get the heads? You start cutting the tails off, that head going to turn around. You cut the tail of the snake off, that head going to turn around. That's when you get the head, because now he's weak, because he don't have anyone to fight for them. Their tail is their regular people, the police, the FBI, all that shit. Fuck them motherfuckers up. Show the true power of who we are. We're nature's children. And all those who are confined in the system, we wake their ass up to and let them know. Slap the fuck out of them. Let them know, hey, wake your ass up, motherfucker. Wake up. Wake up. You've been asleep too long. Let's go to war. Because we've been through too much. All right, guys. Pass this message on to you. Let's become the baby kids. Let's not give a fuck. That's on 100. All right. Peace to you all. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say peace to you all? Oh, I must be tired. But you know what? Inner peace for you guys. You got to have inner peace, because in order to have chaos, you must have inner peace. You got to have inner peace in order to show chaos. Tornado has inner peace. The most peaceful part of the tornado is inside of it. On the outside of it is complete, pure chaos. So you got to have inner peace. So I'll say inner peace to you all. But as usual, chaos. Chaos. We bring chaos to this entire planet. Global chaos. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angelic beings. Chaos to you all.
Son of a